90-minute tape converted to 60 minutes. The Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the interview of Florence Zheng. Interview number 11, conducted by Gene Wong on April 20th, 1979.
How were the Chinese affected by the Depression?
You know, I mean, that
in the 30s. Or do you think they were affected very much by the Depression?
No, I don't think they were too much. Because there was his family or living time on the long time leaders. They don't spread it to go read about the meaning of the things. Why they were meaning. Like, if they go down to eat, they have to eat at home, and buy food, and prepare themselves, and they have to eat at home, and eat at home, and so, they say something, and they own a car, and things like that.
Did most people save their money, do you think, or gamble, or send it back to China? When they saved, did they save in banks, or did they keep it in, you know, cash at home, do you think?
I think most of them have cash at home. You know how to go to the bank, and they trust the bank.
Who would gamble then? We hear talk about the
Chinese. Gambling houses down in Chinatown.
Who do you think would go to those gambling houses, not save?
A lot of people do. They want to put the money in and win something big enough to send home or do something with it.
Do you think there would be women who gamble too, or just men? Just men without families?
Well, those days, men, you know, with family too. You know, the family too. You know, win some, you know. But, there may be some few women cases.
Did you ever know or hear of any cases where gambling became a cause of friction at home? You know, a wife would argue with her husband on the fact that he takes the paycheck and gambles it off or something. Did you hear of any case of that, or hear of anybody mm-hmm. else talk of that kind of you know, friction from gambling? Did you ever feel any hostility against, that people were anti-Chinese in Los Angeles?
Other races anti-Chinese?
Yeah, but, you know, whether you felt as if people discriminated against you because you were Chinese, or against people that you knew?
Well, there were some.
In what ways? Do you remember any cases of it?
Every time my brother had a wish with a Chinaman, a Chinese man, a Chinaman. There are some. There are some. Lonely men and neighbors, they don't know nothing.
Did you ever face a situation where you went into a restaurant or coffee shop and a waiter wouldn't wait on you because you were Chinese?
I forgot one of the towns we our show was going to play there next week. And we got in town a week before at the opening time. So we just, went touring the city and then. So we want to go into that same theater that we can play next week. And they want to, we're going to stop us from going in. And they call up the manager and to see that we're the ones going to be here working here next week. But I heard before in San Francisco, before I left home, that the Pantages Theater down Market Street, San Francisco, that the Chinese, not so much women go to show, but some of the men go to show, and they wouldn't let them sit downstairs. They push them upstairs. But then we said to ourselves in those days that some of the Chinese men, they came over this country and they labor and they never tried to elevate themselves. And they were wearing the old Chinese shoes and they had to Then we said to ourselves that sometimes we see because they try to make themselves presentable in the outside work, working in a sloppy place and go to the show. They have to clean up before he, go to the show or something and make themselves presentable. So anyway, we say, I'm going to put them in, not them, stay down to the patient and work there sometimes. But then makes it bad for the other too, and they start shoving these Chinese up there, and all the Chinese, they all push you upstairs too. So that's the thing that we heard about. But they don't know the Chinese. Sometimes we same way when I was down south visiting a girlfriend from Savannah, Georgia. I was working in the Chicago Fair. Then I worked out in this open area and worked long hours and then go to work and out in the sun. And I probably turned the other 10 and the dot. So it was so hard, I was still single, so I met this girl there. And so she worked in, she came out to Chicago seat up there and was working in the stage for a big shop, sitting in the shop. And she said, you come down and visit me when the fair's closing in November, October, November. You come visit me before you go back to New York. I was living in New York. So I said, okay, I'll come visit you. So I didn't wait till the fair finished. I think I was thinking that I'm all visiting, you know, I'm too tired. By myself, I need to save a little money. I don't have to knock myself out that much. I'll go down and visit my girlfriend in Savannah, Georgia. So I took a train from Chicago down to Savannah, Georgia. So then I buy the regular fare, and so when they come to the Mason-Dixon line, that's where the border line, they divide at the legal. People have to sit in the back and the white in the front. And all the streetcar buses the same way. And even in the department store, there were toilets up for the black. The white, they all divide up. So I didn't know other than to go myself, so then I took the job and I started to get on the train and go down and visit my girlfriend. And so I could stop at the junction and there's a distant line. So I got off in some big town areas where we stopped the train, take more people in and get up. So I got up and stretched. So then I started to go back up to my car, my seatbelt. So this Negro porter said, "Ma'am," thought I was black. "Ma'am, your car is in the back." That's where they stopped dividing line. "The car's in the back." I looked at my number. "No, this is mine. This is my car number, my city." So he thought I was a black, but I was left-hand and tired looking and sleepy. So then the conductor, he seemed to know that I'm not black. So I look at my car and my ticket, and I'm like, "Oh, see." So I guess he noticed that I'm not black. I don't talk like a black. So he said, "Well, that's all right. That's all right. I'll see that black. And then we go back up." So until I didn't know until I get down to Savannah, Georgia, visit my girlfriend. So she, her father and mother come over from the old country, and they have some cousins there and something, so they landed there. Moved to Savannah, Georgia, and they both couldn't speak a word of English. All this 60, 70 years they lived there. But they struggled, opened the laundry place, and then made some money, and then they graduated, bought some property, and then they had this boy and girl. So then the father finally owned about 3 laundry, and he used to do all the hard work himself. And when he graduated, grew up, he hired legal women to work for a very reasonable, to do the ironing and everything. So he's a supervisor, and he runs about 3 laundry. That's good money coming in. And then his wife and her daughter and the son, the son went to Georgia Tech. And so the daughter stayed home and she had some school. Most of the time she helped her mother, but they run the grocery store. And they live upstairs, grocery downstairs, and then hired a Negro man to do the cutting meat. They get that going. And they sell to a Negro family. She get up 5:30 in the morning, and I stay with her, and living upstairs, and the mother said, "Oh," and they get up 5:30. She would guide the car to the produce, buy everything by big trade. Let us sell green carrots and everything, and come back and tie up in little bunches, cans in the bunches, little bunches. So different to me because I live in a big city and different. It was after the show closed too, you know. So I'm She think I'm more sophisticated and more, you know, than she is. In the long run, she has this home bringing another person, and she will have to knit, sew, cook, and bake. So, we became good friends. So I was so tired, and I needed that rest. All I do was sleep and eat and sit. And she drives the car. So, get up early and pick up all these groceries, and then I'll see you. So, and we get up, and then fix me for breakfast, and then lunchtime, and see what you do. See you after driving, and kind of fascinating then. So, I see you driving to bed. I am listening to you, knitting. So I didn't think kind of learn to sew and knit. I just was kind of tired. All I do was rest. And I had a good time, so she took me to visit a few family then. So no amusement or nothing. Just take me to my family and visit, and I don't play the game of music.
Speaking about amusement, what kinds of things did you do for, you know, recreation or leisure, you know, activities?
Well, those days, every time we would go into a town, first we would look up all the, just like if you, we didn't have those, like Disneyland or Maryland, those things, but like when we went to Salt Lake City, I went to go see the Mormon Temple, or the church, the, you know, things like that.
You go look for the sites? The sites?
Yeah. Outstanding sites. Like when you go to Washington, D.C., or go to the Treasury Department, or yeah.
How about when you came back to Los Angeles? You know, what kinds of things did you do for amusement here?
Well, you see, the show was kept going. Like now and then we would have, we usually have either a couple of days before we started another week of, you know, of working. Then we have a couple of days off, or maybe half a week off or something, a whole week off or something. We would, by the time we go there, we would look up those special sightseeing places.
Even in Los Angeles, California?
No, out here, not so much, because mostly all around the other country. Mm-hmm. But out here we'd have a lot of friends that we would just visit or you know, or go to have dinner with them or all that. But, not so much in sightseeing in L.A. Mm-hmm.
But when you were younger, what did you do? Did you?
Well, I didn't. I was in San Francisco. I was in L.A.
Yeah. What kinds of things did you do? Play?
Oh, yeah, I didn't have so much fun. My girlfriend, we used to go to YWCA in San Francisco, and they would have music or craft or something, and we would meet there. And then just before we started to have this ballroom dancing, you know, the groups went to dancing or something, and then I had to leave town.
Were you involved with any Chinese kind of activities, you know, listening to Chinese music or Chinese dancing or Chinese operas?
They did have a Chinese opera at that time when we were in the days, but we didn't go in for too much of it. Even my grandma loves to see this, the Pearl White, the series, continuing, you know, all the Pearls of Hawaii in it, mm-hmm. Pearl White. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yes. The movie continue. Mm-hmm. Get all excited and we continue next week. You see, next week. Mm-hmm. And even my grandma in those days. You know, see, after my mother died, my grandma said, you come and stay with us. I always stay with my five cousins and my aunt. My aunt's always sick with me. So my grandma, she's quite strong in her 80s, so she said, I'm sad. Oh, I hurry up, do up the dishes, and you put children on tickets in the movie. Buy 5 cents, the movie. Oh, it is a continue, you know. Oh, I get so excited. Oh, continue next week. So you want to continue. Okay, my God. And we, when we come back, we call the new the restaurant and bring up wonton mein. Four, five bowls of wonton mein. Oh, with the tray on top of the head, bring up to your house, and with the chopsticks, spoon, and the soy sauce, everything like that for 10, 15 cents a bowl. Oh, those are the, you know, the worst dishes. Get to eating and stand out in the hallway.
So. Did you consider yourself more Chinese or more American? Or did you think about that question at all when you were younger?
No, when I was younger, all Chinese.
You considered yourself to be all Chinese?
Yeah. My brother took me back east, and all I meet is Caucasian people and friends. I have a cousin went to New York and went into restaurant business with some other cousins, a very big place on Times Square. He's a Tom, no Tom.
Another Tom, and what's his name?
He has said that he wasn't there. And then my cousin's wife came over in China. She was well educated in Chinese, actually good Chinese, but very little English. So he went back there to marry her, and in those days he couldn't bring the wife home. And so she was left behind back there, and so he kept working to save money to send for her. So he had to work from San Francisco, work his way, so he finally went to New York and met up with some cousin and went into this restaurant business. And so he sent for her, and when she first arrived, she arrived from San Francisco. To a painter, huh? She has beautiful Chinese, and educated, and crochet, making that. So then my cousin in New York was ready for her, sent for her. So she went to New York and got a home in Long Island. And then later on, after the show closed, I said, the first time I went with my brothers, I didn't stay too long with them. I took sick in Chicago somewhere. Well, I think the weather too severe enough, you know, snowing or the wind. I was sick, and then I couldn't just stay with them a short time, you know, a year or so more. So I came back out. Yeah, came back out. Then one of my sisters wanted to go to New York, and my second time went with her, go to New York and stay with my cousin and his wife. So then my cousin went and find a job for us, like in cashier or checkman or something like that. He both worked in different restaurants and things, and my sister married and followed New York. Then my brother, he was still traveling by himself, finding. One day they came up with him again. Well, I didn't came up with him, but anyway, he had a call to come out to work in pictures or something. He came up to Hollywood. And then he sent for me. Then he sent for me to come up with him. And then he started this. The next show closed, and he came back out, and then I came back out later. And that's where I met my husband. We got married, and then kids came, and then I was stuck in the restaurant business.
Did most Chinese men return to China to marry, or did they marry American-born Chinese?
No, some of them, if they can't find any suitable, can meet up with any Chinese, they go back to China. But that time way back, that even they went back home to marry, even he's an American citizen, he can't bring the wife over.
until this, I heard of this Chinese lawyer, Wai Si Hong. So he was same age as my brother, same group when we used to go to school together. I went to school with his younger sister. And when I left home, he was studying law. He had a job with immigration people. And then I guess he kind of liked that line or something. Then he was leaving the school and studying law. So it just before I left home or something, and then the native son had got enough group of funds to open up a association for themselves, and then that's where they put out the big place, and then that's where they start to. Younger people start to dancing, foreign dancing. So then it just started that night, I started enjoying it. And my brother had to take me away. And then all my friends got there. And then I heard that Mr. Hong was going to take this law to Washington, D.C. to fight that. Native son got married, son got to marry, was allowed to bring the wife over. So then, my brother took me away, and I was in New York then. And Mr. Hong and his wife was coming to New York to on his way to Washington, D.C. to fight for the law, the son get enough money to send him to America, Washington, D.C. to fight this law. Anyway, then I was in New York, and then I knew them. So I think they were in town, and he was living at the hotel for the night and night in Washington. So a friend told me, Mr. Weissy, you know, I'm on a flight on Sunday morning on the way to Washington, same time fighting the face of the native son, bring the wife over. So I went up, I called him up in the hotel, and he said, let's go down Chinatown. This is another friend of mine. I'm going to take you to Chinatown for dinner. So we met them in Chinatown, Then Mrs. Hong said, come on, would you like to have lunch with me? And I'm going to Fifth Avenue shopping, you know. So I was waiting for them to shop. So obviously at so-and-so hotel. So the other guy was a fellow, so he didn't invite anybody. So I managed to get over to the hotel and took a taxi to this. Finished that luncheon. And at luncheon went to this big shop in Fifth Avenue. And she was a big girl. And these models are small, you know, so you can come out and if you like the suit and I like the dress. And I like to try on that dress in my size, size 16 or 14 or 18, size 10. I was fascinated by it because I would. After so,
is Y.C. Holmes younger sister still in California?
Sure, I think she passed away. Y.C. Holmes passed away a couple years ago. Anyway, he told me, the native sons are sending me to Washington to fight the king. And he won, see. So he became famous, and all the Chinese wanted to go to him, and nobody else, and all cases come. Oh, he's making so much money. And his wife helped him along and then like secretary and so they brought a whole lot of friends and things because the exclusive theory, you know. Then the two sons, and one son is married, and the other one's still single.